They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father.
Over the last few years, it feels like there has been a proliferation of TV shows about farming. There is, of course, Country File on BBC One. No Sunday night is complete without it. This Farming Life on BBC Two, Our Yorkshire Farm on Channel 5, A Farmer's Life on Channel 4, and Clarkson's Farm on Amazon Prime. Anyone seen any of the farming shows on TV? A few of you, yeah. Now, if you've not seen it, Clarkson's Farm on Amazon Prime is a documentary following broadcaster Jeremy Clarkson. I allow space for boos and hisses. He is a pantomime villain. As he takes on running a farm in the Cotswolds that he has renamed Diddley Squat Farm. It refers to the level of profitability of the farm. Now, I am no fan of Jeremy Clarkson, but I did actually enjoy the first series of Clarkson's Farm, partly because he constantly looked like an idiot throughout it, which is always good, but also because of the real people who appear in the documentary, his land agent, his farm hand, the vet, and the shepherdess, to name but a few. But the thing that was most striking about the show was that it offered real insight into what it is like to be a farmer or to farm land. And from what I can see, it is an incredibly tough occupation. It is hard work, it is hazardous in a whole range of ways, and it is not particularly profitable. Now, being a farmer in Jesus' day was perhaps different to today, but I think it's fair to say that life as a first century shepherd in Palestine was just as tough as it is today. It was hard work, it was hazardous, and I suspect if you were the shepherd, it wasn't particularly profitable. Added to which, shepherds were regarded as being rather lowly. I went down a wormhole yesterday of research into the extent to which shepherds were despised or not, and so on. Anyway, it was an interesting profession, and I think it was lowly. So when Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, what does he mean? And what are we meant to take from that as 21st century city dwellers? Well, the first thing that I wanted to say this morning is that in my mind, Jesus is the good shepherd with the bad business model. It's clear from looking at the passage and from the previous passage that shepherds regularly had to deal with a whole range of threats. The ones that are mentioned are threats posed by thieves stealing the sheep, and then also threats posed by wolves attacking the sheep. Interestingly, similar threats exist today, but today they steal your tractor instead of your sheep, because the tractor is worth far more than the sheep. Now, according to Jesus, the way that those threats are dealt with differ depending on the kind of shepherd who is in charge of the flock. If the shepherd is a hired hand, as in they don't own the sheep, so they don't have any responsibility for them, if a wolf comes, then they are more likely to abandon the sheep and run away. The result is the sheep are killed and the farmer's livelihood is affected. By contrast, Jesus says he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, who gives up his life in order to save theirs. Now, I am no businesswoman, but it strikes me, as I say, that this is a poor business model. A little research on Google told me that in the UK today, a sheep costs £88. That is it. And I was on the British Wool Price Index yesterday. Oh, yes, but I went deep into this research on your behalf. A fleece sells for under £3.50. £88 for a sheep, today's prices, a fleece, less than £3.50. It would be utter madness for a shepherd to give up their life to save the life of a single sheep. For that matter, I think it would be utter madness for a shepherd to give up their life to save 10 sheep. Perhaps you could argue that if a shepherd were to give up their life to save the lives of 100 sheep, it would be worth it. But if that meant that the family, the shepherd's family, lost their breadwinner and their protector, particularly in that culture, then in my view, it simply wouldn't be worth it. If I was the shepherd's wife or if I was the shepherd's mother, I would far rather have the shepherd than the sheep, because the sheep can be replaced, but the shepherd cannot be replaced, even if it meant that we lost a significant amount of our livelihood by losing the sheep. So surely it is obvious to me the life of the shepherd would be worth more than the lives of the sheep. So Jesus is telling us something here about his character and his nature. It is in his nature, the very nature of God, to value the lives of those entrusted to his care over and above the value of his own life. I think that's why in verses 17 and 18 he says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." I don't think he's saying I've earned the Father's love by being willing to lay down my own life. I think he's just saying that the Father loves him because his very nature is that he wants to offer himself, probably because that reflects the nature of the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this passage, I find it impossible not to make connections with the other times in which Jesus likens himself to a shepherd. And in particular, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the parable of the lost sheep, where Jesus talks about the shepherd who will leave the 99 in order to go off and find the one sheep that has become lost. And the inference actually in both passages that is that the shepherd would lay down their life even for just one sheep. Again, in business sense, it makes no sense at all to neglect the 99 for the sake of the one. So we're being told something really important about who Jesus is, how Jesus works, how Jesus thinks and feels. Now, according to Jesus in verse 14, what makes him different to the hired hand is that the relationship that he has with his sheep. And he says it's like the relationship he has with his Father. So the way that Jesus feels about us is the same way that God the Father feels about the Son, and the same way that God the Son feels about the Father. So it's not a case that I am intrinsically worth more than £88, but it's actually that I relationally matter to God, which means that relationally you matter to God. God wants to know us, and God wants to be known by us. So as far as I can see here, it's not. There is a sense of the abundance of the shepherd. Yes, you could say there's the sense of the value of the sheep, but fundamentally what it seems to be about is this desire of God to know us and to be known by us, this relationship. Now, so far I've talked a bit about the way that God relates to us as individuals, but I want to step back a bit and think about what it means for us as a whole flock, this passage. Today in the church calendar is often referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday because the set readings, the lectionary readings for the fourth Sunday of Easter always come from John chapter 10. And given that one of the two churches in this parish is called the Good Shepherd, I think these verses have special significance for us. Now, I am always interested to know why people have particular names. I Googled my own name yesterday. It said it means power and strength. A variation on the Irish name, Bridget, it calls visions of strong women to mind. Oh, I liked that. I was prophetically named, I like to think. Nick and I, we have a daughter called Evie, but her proper name is actually Evangeline, and that means good news, as in gospel, the good news of the gospel. We chose that name for her because basically as people, individually and as a couple, the good news of Jesus has always been at the heart of who we are and what we do. So we gave her that name. She is good news. Our son Kester is just called Kester because that sounded cool and he's quite cool. It's not quite so sort of visionary. But what does our church name, the Good Shepherd, what does it say about our vocation? Often in the Bible, people's names reflect some aspect of their character or they reflect something that they are going to do in God's story. Well, the name the Good Shepherd was chosen by the rector of St. Margaret's Lee, our neighbouring parish up the road, in 1881, because the Good Shepherd was built of as a chapel of ease for St. Margaret's. And the rector wrote at the time, "The chapel of ease then to the parish church, which I purpose calling the Church of the Good Shepherd, is to hold 550 persons. All the sittings are to be unappropriated so that the poor cannot be crowded out from what is more especially their own church." What was really going on was that St. Margaret's felt there were too many poor people coming to their services. I mean, I'm not joking, this is exactly what it will have been about. So that's why it's for the poor who are not to be crowded out because this is more especially their church. Like, oh, welcome to St. Margaret's. I think you might be a good shepherd person. That's probably, sadly, what the driver was. But I actually think vocationally, there is something interesting in that for us, that originally this church was built to serve the poor. And I wonder, as you think about this evolving parish today, who you consider the poor to be. And I wonder if they know that this church was actually built for them, that this is their church. Going back to the passage from John 10, one of the things that I noticed from there is that if you were a sheep in Jesus' flock, then you would be very safe, because the Good Shepherd would do everything in his power to keep you safe. And I wonder if we as a church are called to be a place of safety for others. I know from talking to people who have been part of this congregation, both past and present, that many people have ended up coming here when they've needed a place of safety. Some have come following the breakup of a relationship, and they've just come to sort of sit in the pews and recover. Some have come following a bereavement. Some have come when they've been hurt by other churches or other Christians. Some have come because they want to be part of a community that includes people irrespective of their sexuality. Some have come during a period of depression when they're looking for something or anything to offer hope. Now, we don't always get it right here. Of course we don't, because we're human and we're church, and that's the nature of it. But I do wonder if we are actually meant to be a place of safety where people can come for healing and for hope. And definitely there is something vocationally in that Good Shepherd story about being a place where you are welcomed into the sheepfold and Jesus is the gate and the Good Shepherd, and you are kept safe. The other thing I notice in the passage come from verses 16 and 17, where Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And it sounds as if Jesus is probably referring to welcoming Gentiles, as in those who are not Jewish, into God's family. And of course, at that point in time, God's family was exclusively Jewish. And we've been looking at that a little bit over the past few months as we've worked our way through the book of Acts. And we know from Acts, if you've been in church, that actually it was incredibly challenging for the early church to open itself up and to welcome people in who had different backgrounds and to see themselves as one. Time and again, when we talk in this church about what matters to us, our DNA almost, as it were, we talk about being a welcoming community where everyone is welcomed into church, and actually just as importantly, where everyone is welcomed into relationship with God. So I wonder again if that is also part of our vocation as the Good Shepherd, this openness to welcoming others into the flock, that we might have one shepherd and be one flock. So those are a few thoughts that I had as I was revisiting this passage, a fairly well-worn passage in the Bible, that if we are the Good Shepherd, then perhaps we have a vocation to the poor, because that's why we were built, that we have a vocation to be a place of safety to those who perhaps just need to come and sit at the back for a season, or maybe for several decades, and that we're to be a community of welcome, where everybody has the opportunity to come to know God and to be known by God. Like farming, being the Good Shepherd is a tough occupation. It can be hard work and hazardous being a church, and it is not particularly profitable either. But it is worth it. Amen. Why don't we take a moment just to pause and reflect on that story? It could be you want to reflect on your own sense of relationship with God, the fact that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, wants to know us and to be known by us. Or perhaps you want to just think about our church and the place it holds in this community, and who are the poor that we are made and built to serve.